time for a sofa upgrade? Introducing Anabe Sofas, where designer style meets budget-friendly prices. Every Anabe sofa is modular, allowing you to rearrange your space effortlessly. Perfect for both small and large spaces, Anabe is the only machine-washable sofa inside and out. Say goodbye to stains and messes with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics that make cleaning easy. Liquids simply slide right off. Designed for custom comfort, our high-resilience foam lets you choose between a sink and feel or a supportive memory foam blend. Plus, our pet-friendly, stain-resistant fabrics ensure your sofa stays beautiful for years. Don't compromise quality for price. Visit washablesofas.com to upgrade your living space today. Sofas start at just $699 with no-risk returns and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get early access to Black Friday now. The biggest sale of the year can save you up to 60% off, plus free shipping and free returns. Shop now at washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
You are listening to Intergenerational Politics with Jill Winebanks and Victor Xu, where we host weekly political discussions that are engaging and relevant to all generations with experts on various issues facing our country today.
This is Victor Xu. I'll be an incoming freshman at UCLA next year, and I'm also the youngest Joe Biden delegate here in Illinois. Jill, do you want to give us a brief introduction about who you are, and then we'll kind of get into what we have planned for tonight?
Sure. I'm also a Biden delegate, clearly not the youngest. I'm also the author of The Watergate Girl, a former Watergate prosecutor, a former general counsel of the Army, deputy attorney general of Illinois, a corporate executive for Motorola and Maytag, many other things, including career and technical education at the Chicago Public Schools, something that we know Joe Biden cares a lot about. So I'm excited about that and so many things. Let's get right to talking about the last two nights. We had commentary for the first and second night of the convention, but we didn't do it last night because I was in tears. I was so moved by what had happened last night, and I thought there's no way they could even come close tonight, but they did. Yeah. Every single moment. I'm going to ask you what your favorite moment or moments were, because I honestly would, I can't pick 10. There wasn't an offbeat moment, not once. And they fixed my one complaint from last night, which was I did not like the production value of Kamala's speech. I loved her speech. Mm-hmm. I loved her delivery. But I did not like the empty auditorium. I did not like that huge empty space. And they fixed it. Mm-hmm. They kept a tighter shot on Vice President Biden, and it worked perfectly. Yeah. So what were your favorite moments?
Well, I mean, before we get into it, I know there's some significance behind your shirt after hearing. So so I'm wearing two pins, and then I'm my both of our Biden Harris shirts came. This is my Biden Harris shirt. You see just their faces here. Jill, do you want to give us an introduction
to
your shirt?
Well, I actually bought, I think, three or four Biden Harris shirts, and they all have come. I wore one this afternoon for our interview with Rick Wilson, which was fabulous. Everyone should definitely go back and listen to that. He is marvelous. Mm-hmm. Rick Wilson from the Lincoln Project. But I had to change because Julie Louis-Dreyfus said, "Nasty women vote." And that's it. And it says Biden Harris below that. Mm-hmm. So I went upstairs and changed. And I don't know, there's no way that we can get close enough, but I am wearing a Mount Nasty pin, which I believe there's a new version of, and I'm going to have to get it for my Jill's pin collection, to which Kamala Harris's picture has been added. I know Donald Trump would like to have his face carved on Mount Rushmore. That will never happen. Yeah. But this is some of the women who have broken through the glass ceiling. And I also will be wearing a glass ceiling being shattered pin soon. But tonight seemed like the nasty women night. So
for
that's why I'm wearing this.
For sure. Well, Okay, so normally for our audience, we usually record this beforehand and then we post it. Now it's all live because we want to give you the chance to see us kind of do this podcast. But so we, Jill and I are both delegates here in Illinois, and you know, we didn't do convention coverage last night because it was such an emotional night. I think it was just so clear. You know, last night a big moment for me was just seeing like all of, I think it was just historical to see everything that women have accomplished. You know, they did this montage of Nancy Pelosi, of all of these trailblazers. Ruth Bader Ginsburg was in it. You know, all of these trailblazing women were in that montage, and it was just like, wow, this is America, and this is how far we've come, and then this is how far we have to go in order to finally achieve, like you said, that glass, break that glass ceiling. But tonight, I just thought, I agree with you so much, Jill, like, just when you thought it couldn't get better, it got better. And it was like tonight, you know, we ended with Joe Biden's speech, but I just think every single production value that went into this convention was so extraordinary. We saw just these clips from ordinary people, and I thought those were some of the most powerful moments. We saw the young boy with a stutter, you know, who met Joe Biden on the campaign trail. He had a stutter too. You know, Joe Biden grew up with a stutter. He always speaks about how having a stutter was paramount to him overcoming some of the challenges as a young child and as an adult. But, you know, just the courageous clip that we saw of that young boy speak out who had that stutter was just so indicative of who Joe Biden is. You know, he will always be there as a person to go to for comfort. He has this empathy that is really just incomparable. And, you know, we saw that with just these ordinary clips, and then we saw that with his speech. And then we can kind of analyze his speech later, but, you know, I just thought, everything that we want to, in a president right now, you know, he kind of referenced the light throughout his speech and how we just want to see the light in this darkness. And, you know, he is the person that we all need during this difficult time. But Jill, how about you? Like, what were your overall thoughts about these last 2 days?
My overall thought was that it was brilliant, and it wasn't just production values. Yeah. First of all, I've been at other conventions. It takes years really to plan a convention. The convention that was planned was one where I would have been with you in Wisconsin. We would have been live on the floor. We would have been talking to other delegates. It would have been very exciting, but it wouldn't have had the impact. And other people watching who weren't on the floor would never have had the experience they've had watching this. The content came through loud and clear. And tonight, I think Joe Biden made very clear that Social Security and Medicare are going to be taken away if Donald Trump is reelected. So many other things. If we can think of all the things that he has done up till now when he knew he had to run for reelection, imagine what he would do if he isn't going to ever have to run for reelection. He doesn't have to be held accountable anymore. It would be a disaster. I think that point was made loud and clear for all four nights of the convention. What I think was made clear tonight is why Joe Biden is the right one to replace him, why Joe Biden is the one to lead us forward into the light. That was one of the phrases I liked a lot. I like, by the way, the themes of We the People and Build Back Better. I think those are great campaign themes. I also like the comment about if you want to make America great again, that says vote for Biden. And it's so true. That's what we need, because the America has not been made great again. It's been diminished, particularly in the eyes of all the world leaders and just citizens. I get tweets all the time from people, a lot in Canada, but some in Europe, saying, what's happened to America? And we aren't the leaders that we were, except in COVID deaths, not one that we would like to be the leader in. Yeah. So I thought it really was just a wonderful, wonderful production. You're right. The young man who stood up and said, it's not just that he stood up and gave his speech, including stuttering, but that you saw the film of him working with Joe Biden, the president-elect, or future president,
yes.
The vice president of the United States, took time to meet with him. And it's not an exceptional thing because he does it all the time. Yeah. He calls people who are in need of help. The rabbi who testified tonight saying he came to make a minyan because the woman had given him $18 and he wanted to pay respects. That's the man that Joe Biden is.
Yeah.
And so I just think it really captured who he is and why he should be the leader of America. I love the dialogue between his primary opponents. That was terrific. I thought Bloomberg finally came out and he was really good. I'm missing a million people because if you go from the very first person who spoke, which was actually Joe Biden saying, you know, it's important to vote, the little boy who said the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh my God.
Did you love him? Oh my God. How could you not love him? And the chicks singing the anthem. Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard it sung like that. It was fabulous.
I
don't know if you know who they are. They used to be the Dixie Chicks and got in trouble for their political views. And speaking of getting in trouble, I don't know if you caught this, but the Army is investigating the soldiers who appeared in the video of the Samoans casting their votes in the roll call because they were in uniform. And as former general counsel of the Army, it is against military rules to appear at a political event in uniform. However, in the same way that Trump is making fun of gaffes in the past by Joe Biden, and by the way, of course, there were none tonight. He was flawless in his delivery. How can he do that when he is the greatest? He slurs, he breathes really weird, he mistakes words, he makes up words, aside from Covfefe. but for him to come out and say it's improper for a soldier to appear in uniform, when he took the chief of staff of the military and marched him over to a photo op when tear gas was being dispersed against private, peaceful protesters. I hope we interviewed this afternoon Rick Wilson. Rick, if you're listening, and if you're not, I'm going to email you. Someone ought to be making a video that counters the Trump video against Biden. A collage of all of Trump's stupid statements. His total, he has only a few words. He says, I have great vocabulary, but really he doesn't. He has just a few words and he slurs them often. So let's make one of that. And let's make a comparison of those two soldiers who were very proud to be showing, I think Samoa want to show how much it supports the American military because they are part of America, they are American. The Army has said it was a mistake, the DNC has said it was careless of us, it was a mistake to let them do that. But it happened, and I don't think they deserve to be punished. Yeah. They certainly should be warned not to do it again. That's the only negative that's come up. Other than that, I think it was just totally wonderful. Yeah. Build back better.
Yeah. You know, three quick things. You know, you mentioned, you know, John Legend, the chicks, you know, that little tiny boy reciting the anthem. You know, I just thought, you know, Jill, this is like
Common, don't forget Common.
Yes, for sure. This is just the Democratic Party that I think you and I know. It's this diverse party that represents America. Yes. And I think what we saw tonight was, what we saw these past 4 days, you know, through these just short clips of highlighting people across America, I think that is what the Democratic Party stands for. And really, you know, next week it'll be interesting to see if the Republicans kind of live up to this diversity. You know, I'd imagine their roll call is like all white people, or all, you know, it definitely won't live up to, you know, just the diversity that makes up the Democratic Party. But also, I thought tonight's theme was so powerful. You know, one of Joe Biden's biggest messages is the soul of America, kind of just restoring the soul of America.
Yes.
And I thought everything has been leading up to this moment. Last night, we really saw policies that resonated with young people. We saw climate change, gun violence, immigration, women's reproductive rights. These are all things that young people care about. Joe Biden also channeled that in his speech tonight, just telling young people that, you know, we see you, we value, and hopefully, I just hope that young people will now really support Joe Biden going into this election. You know, during the speech, Joe Biden mentioned how America, like if we can describe America in one word, it's possibility. And I was watching with my parents, and my dad was sitting right next to me. And as someone who came from China, he told me, he kind of like whispered in my ear. He was like, I thought that was one of the most powerful lines, because he's not a Democrat. He isn't one of your traditional Democrats. He supported more conservative people in the past. But he was like, when I came to America, like that was the one phrase that people kept telling me about as just a Chinese immigrant, you know, that America is the land of possibility. And you know, I thought Joe Biden just captured that so well.
And that's what it used to be. I think one of the reasons that I was in tears last night was partly the immigration portions where you, I mean, let's remember children in cages, families separated, the young girl who had written a letter saying, you tore apart my family, and she's, her father is a Marine, and they took her mother away, his wife. She's an American citizen because she was born here, but they haven't been able to get her back, her mother back. I mean, there were so many horrible things, and today on the news, you heard about a meeting that Stephen Miller basically made almost the entire cabinet vote in favor of family separation. I mean, that's a pretty, I mean, there's so much dramatic news today. Bannon being indicted, Vance being told, you get the tax returns. This other thing about, I mean, there's just so many, and oh, QAnon, let's not forget QAnon.
Oh my God.
And then Donald Trump is asked, well, what do you think about that? He says, well, they like me, so I like them. They are crazy. I'm sure we're going to now get tweets from them. But they believe, and I think they actually do believe, these fantasy conspiracy theories.
No doubt.
And he didn't condemn them in the same way that he said, well, there are good people on both sides in terms of the march in Charlottesville with the Ku Klux Klan and white supremacists chanting anti-Semitic statements. That's not America. Your father is right. It is a land of possibility. And with Joe Biden as our president, it will be again. I think that's very important for people. I think the emphasis today on so many people saying vote, and here's how you learn how to do it.
You better text vote to 30330. Like, that is essential. Anyway, go on.
Yes, no, I'm glad you have that sign up, and I hope everybody can see it and remember that number. And just do it. It's very, very important. Vote early. Make sure your vote is turned in. I've applied for my online, I applied online to get a ballot. And I will fill it out as soon as I get it. I'm doing my research on everything that's on the ballot so that when it comes, I don't have a long delay. But, you know, take some time to do it. If you have questions, you can tweet to either Victor or I, and we will answer your questions about different questions that are on the ballot, depending on where
maybe
you're
we'll at. Maybe we'll do like a down ballot episode sometime. You know,
that's a good idea.
Bring like shooting big, maybe like Nancy Pelosi to talk about all of the important down ballot races. I don't know.
Right, right. Although we'd have to cover, you know, a lot of states and territories. And so we might not be able to do, we certainly can do it for Illinois. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have a specific question, we will research it and we'll find out. We have the resources to do it and we will. So count on us to help you to know, obviously, you know who to vote for president. That's easy. You also know that if there's a representative or a senator, either at the federal level or in the state level, vote blue. And I'll tell you why. Not only because you want Joe Biden to be able to protect your rights, and he needs Congress to do that, and so it's essential that you get a blue Congress, House and Senate. But at the state level, it's important because this is the year of the census. And if you want things administered properly, and if you want not to have gerrymandered unfair districts, then you need to have a blue governor and you need to have a Democratic Congress, a state legislature. So it's very important to vote really heavily blue this time around, not only to repudiate all of the enablers of Donald Trump and Donald Trump himself, but because the future, which is what we're looking forward to, requires that we do that.
Yeah. So Jill, before we kind of just end with our just overall thoughts as delegates and kind of recapping this whole convention experience, I wanted to ask you, because I read this article, I'm sure you know Melissa Murray, who is a professor, and she frequently comments on MSNBC. And
yes.
One of her biggest, not so much complaints, but I guess wishes of this convention was that it would have covered more of the stakes of the court. Because yesterday we really saw a lot of these policies play out in terms of immigration, women's rights, climate change. And she wrote this Washington Post article, and it basically was like, she said, Democrats have to focus on the courts because courts decide a lot of these issues, such as women's rights, such as immigration, and the fact that there wasn't that emphasis on the courts and how essential it is to still, it's not just about, Joe Biden said that he was going to elect the first African-American woman. She was like, it's not just about that. It's about the whole judicial system that they forgot about. Like, because you are definitely a legal analyst, that you are in this field. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that, how important do you think that is?
I think it's extremely important.
Yeah.
It is, in many ways, the most important thing, because particularly the Supreme Court, but all federal courts, are lifetime appointments. And so if the Republicans continue to have a lock on that, because they have the Senate and that's who does the confirmation, they're confirming completely unqualified people. I'm not talking about people whose views I don't agree with, although that would also be true. But I'm talking about people who have no trial experience, no experience that would qualify them to be a judge. That's never happened in our history. And one of the reasons that Donald Trump was able to win was on his promise that he would appoint conservative judges.
Right.
And he has carried that out with the help of Mitch McConnell in a big way. And so it is extremely important. We have two Supreme Court justices who are old enough that whoever is the next president is likely to appoint their replacements. And right now, the balance of the court depends on who those replacements are. So I think Melissa is right that we should have had more focus on that. But, there's so many things that people were sending me today saying,
yeah,
I hope Joe Biden covers A, B, C, D. And yes, that was one that didn't quite get covered enough. So I agree with her. But people have only so much attention. And so hopefully there were messages for pretty much your generation, certainly for my generation, that for people of color there were. I think there was more emphasis on Black Lives Matter than there was on I guess all the immigration stuff was.
That was a big thing because a lot of I was on Twitter just scrolling through some of the younger profiles, and a lot of the complaints were not really a lot of, like, Julian Castro didn't speak. There wasn't a Muslim person who spoke, and some of the representation on that end kind of fell wayside, and so people kind of had some complaints about that. At least
there are a lot of young ones who did. Pete Buttigieg, and one of the Castros spoke.
I think I think he appeared in the Unity video with all the candidates, right?
I don't know if he was in. He was there. He was definitely there. So, you could pick a million things about wasn't there. The overall thing was inclusivity, it really worked. And certainly there was a heavy emphasis on Black Lives Matter and racial justice and reform.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of emphasis on immigration as well.
Yeah.
So I think they really covered all the important bases. And just look at the people who participated. It was a very diverse community. That's what the Democratic Party is. And there's room in the party for what now, I guess, again, Dreyfus said, for the soon-to-be former Republicans. But she had a better, what was her phrase for it? But it was soon-to-be former Republicans.
Yeah.
And there's room for you. I think that a lot of the Republicans who participated in the four nights, and some were repeated tonight, we're saying you have permission to say this is not the party that I originally thought it was. This is not the Democratic Party I knew. We talked about this today with Rick Wilson, who was a Republican and who probably still is a Republican, but he is not. He's anybody but Trump.
Yeah.
He is now he's supporting Biden, as everyone should. But he worked in a Republican Party that had values, and the Republican Party has lost its values. Whereas I think the Democratic Party is clear on what it stands for, which is equality and inclusion and diversity, for offering people the protection of government, for protecting our troops. I mean, Donald Trump hasn't even questioned Vladimir Putin about bounties on our soldiers. That is unconscionable for the commander in chief, who today was called the coward in chief
by our own senator.
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Yeah, you know, I'll end with this before we wrap up with our experience. But I thought one of the biggest things that I was looking for was so a lot of Republicans or people who were undecided were saying, you know, we know that Joe Biden is a nice, empathetic character, but we don't know so much about his policies. Joe Biden's speech tonight, let me just say, it focused on his character, it focused on his empathy, but when it came down to policy, he was concrete, he was specific.
Yes.
He gave you everything you needed to know about whether it was coronavirus, whether it was about restoring order internationally, whether it was about climate change, many of these important issues. He told you that he isn't just, you know, we all know him because he's empathetic and that he's a nice person, but when it comes down to policies, he does have it.
Exactly. And the DNC's website and the Biden website have a lot more on policy.
Yeah.
They also have a lot of opportunities to volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And the importance of phone call, you know, phone banking from home or sending handwritten postcards cannot be understated in how important that is in reaching out to undecided voters. Mm-hmm. And this is a tent that is opened to everyone. We hope that the progressives, the far further left people of the party will recognize that there is no choice. It's either Biden or Trump.
Yeah.
And
Kanye. No Kanye.
No Kanye.
Please, no.
I don't think he's going to make it on enough state ballots to count. But the point is, yes, Biden isn't Bernie Sanders. He isn't Elizabeth Warren. But he's certainly very close to them and a lot closer than Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump is, from my vantage point, four more years, the rule of law will be obliterated. I cannot tolerate the thought of that. I am pleased and delighted that Barr did not intervene to stop the Southern District from indicting Bannon, which is something that the fact that I'm even saying that the attorney general would stop the indictment of a criminal because he's a friend of the president. And of course the president went, oh, Bannon, I hardly know him. And I never approved of that fraudulent scheme. Well, he approved of his own fraudulent schemes like Trump University, for example. So, I mean, he's been barred from having a charity in New York because of his fraud. We have to recognize that. And Bloomberg was terrific on this. So I think the convention It was a big success. I think parts of it, by the way, are way better than the old way of doing it, and should never, we should never go back to a roll call except the way it was done this time. Mm-hmm. It was engaging. It showed you something of each country, each state, each territory in each state. I just think that was one that we definitely have to keep.
Yeah.
And the pacing was wonderful. Mm-hmm. I certainly don't, I would have liked to have been there, and I would have liked to have been able to meet all my political heroes, or at least see them close up on the floor, and to be in a dialogue. If I could say one negative thing about the virtual, is that for me, for example, the Illinois state caucuses were just a bunch of talking heads. They were great people, and I enjoyed what they had to say, but that's not the same thing as having a discussion or being in the room and talking to these people. That doesn't work. They have to find a way to have it be more interactive, or just don't waste the time doing it. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
The Women's Caucus, by the way, although equally more a webinar than a interactive
discussion.
Zoom,
that
seemed to have worked better. I don't know why, but it just did. Mm. And there were a lot of women on who were speaking, for example, today. I thought, I'm going to reach out to them. I really want to meet them. People that I didn't necessarily, some who I knew, but not all of them. So I think, you know, that's a small problem. And given how short a time the Democrats had to convert from a planned convention in person, with all of the logistics that involves, hotel rooms and meeting venues and balloons and everything else, that's a pretty small complaint. I don't know whether the Republicans will learn from what we did, or whether they can actually, in just a few days, because they start, you know, next Monday, I don't know if they have learned enough to be able to change anything. And besides, they still have speakers like the Missouri gun-toting couple.
Oh, God.
So even if they change the format, the speakers are going to be terrible. So, but it'll be interesting. I think that they did learn from the Kamala empty stage and fixed it for Biden. And it totally worked.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, you know, just you and I, we were both delegates. We both got elected here in Illinois. We did a pre-convention preview on Monday. And, you know, I think just remember what we said then, I think, you know, coming out of this convention, we were a little bit, you know, skeptical about how this convention would turn out. You know, for me, this was my first convention. For Jill, you know, she's been to conventions before. This was her first one as a delegate. But I just thought, you know, the format, just how the virtual convention played out, you know, it was 2 hours. I thought just each speech was short. It was punchy. It was concise, powerful. There was really nothing that, you know, plus we saw concerts in between. This was really a family event where families could come together and watch this event and really learn about what the Democratic Party is about. And I think they did a really effective job at highlighting not only what Democrats stand for, but also what's at stake in this election. I think that's, for me, that was one of the most rewarding experiences. And, you know, like you said, I would have loved to be in Milwaukee right now, kind of going to after parties. We would have been there at like these receptions, you know, having a good time. But, you know, hopefully 2024, we will all be in, who knows where the convention will be, but hopefully be in person.
I think I'm going to plan to run again because I want to do it in person. And so hopefully you and I will be together in person. I would have been staying at my goddaughter's, so hi, the Essek family. And I miss you, and I miss being in Milwaukee. But other than that, it was perfect, and I don't think we could have made as clear a statement of who the Democrats are and who Joe Biden is, who Kamala Harris is, and why they should lead our country starting as soon as possible, which is January 20th. So hopefully we'll all be safe by then to be able to go to an inauguration. I'm not sure of that. What I am sure of is that if Joe Biden is president, it won't be long before we get things under control and that the next convention will be live.
Well, yes, for sure.
And maybe combine what we learned from this one that really worked and that was great with some of the things that you missed by not having it live.
For sure. Well, I think that really well wraps up our convention coverage. We really hope that, you know, these past 4 days, Jill and I have had such a fun time. You know, we've been doing daily conversations, sometimes more than once, but it's just been such a blast talking with Jill, talking with our guests, and we really hope that you understand just what's at stake in this election.
Thank you all for listening.
Thank you. All right. Perfect.